Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, mother and father lovers, just to appease my friend here, John. This is Last Call at Pemberton's, the best damn How I Met Your Father podcast on the internet. I am one of your hosts, Josh, here. I'm the best bud, John. How you doing, man?
Dude, I am doing great. Happy Independence Day to you, motherfucker.
That's right. Yes, it's 4th of July here in the States. For you know, all you guys watching, that's when we're recording, so... You know, it is what it is. I know you don't all care, but I don't really care either.
I mean, with a crack democracy, you can only care so much.
It's very true. It's very true.
Although I have seen a lot of memes on Facebook today that made me realize people don't actually understand what Independence Day actually is.
Okay.
I saw one where somebody was talking about how Americans go to Britain to dump tea in the harbor for Independence Day.
Oh.
That's the wrong holiday.
Yeah, that's weird. It's kind of like how people don't understand what Cinco de Mayo is. Same kind of thing, you know? People just kind of
I know what Cinco de Mayo is. It's called my birthday.
That is true. Well, that's right, people. So when that rolls around next year, get this motherfucker a present.
Don't forget by then.
Hashtag, what is it?
Hashtag Dallas. It's
that's the hashtag, my friend.
Jay made one.
That's what it is. Send him a belated birthday present. Buy him a coffee or something. You know, he loves himself. Some triple triples. Is that what you're doing nowadays?
Yeah.
You know it.
I've cut the sugar and creamer back just a little bit.
Just no more quads. No more 4x4.
Sherry's on the 4x4 at this point.
Man, that's some wild stuff. I gotta say. Everybody out there, let us know your coffee preference. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I am an iced coffee triple or a mocha iced coffee triple with a shot of espresso.
Interesting. I don't drink coffee at all, so there it is.
I know, and it's weird to me because like you love the smell of coffee.
I do.
You just don't drink it.
True. Yeah, I don't.
This motherfucker over here gets like no sleep, but he's like, I'll pass on the coffee. And I'm like,
it's so true, man. Oh my God, I'm being shot.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we apologize about the interference from the background, but it is Independence Day, and you know how crazy people can get. They gotta blow shit up.
Yep, that's how it goes.
I mean, I'm so
good thing I had my bulletproof vest on.
I know how. And I am cracking the cold one.
Oh, my God. You're celebrating America's independence by drinking a Canadian beer, and I love that.
Listen, it is produced in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, my God.
That is the Queen City of America, bro.
That is the Canada of America. No, that's like in Minnesota. Minnesota. Oh, damn. Good
Minnesota.
Stuff.
Minnesota.
All right, so yeah, you know, we got all that shit out of the way. Now we're going to get into Season 2, Episode 18, Parent Trap.
Parent Trap, bitch!
Yeah. Aired today, July 4th of 2023. Yeah, we're actually doing this on the day that it aired because I'm going to be out of town visiting a certain somebody, you know.
You're going to be visiting me. I'm going to be at work.
Hey, I'm going to be on your couch, so I count that as visiting. all right. So this episode, directed by John's favorite, Pamela Fryman.
P-Fry! Wah, wah, wah.
That's right. Finally gets to say it and actually mean it this time.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
Has been. And written, we have a trio this time around.
Oh, not one person?
No. Jillian Dukes, Allie Tybalt, and Austin Harris. All three of them are staff writers on the show. And this is pretty much the first writing credit for all of them.
Oh, shit.
So Jillian Dukes previously worked as a production in production staff for Young Rock. Allie Tybalt worked.
What? So she's unemployed.
Yeah. Allie Tybalt worked as production staff on This Is Us, but was also the assistant to the How I Met Your Father showrunners, Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger, on their other show, Love, Victor. And Austin Harris, while technically has some writing credits, he wrote and directed a bunch of short films before this, but none of them have any like feature film or TV writing credits until this, which is interesting. So, you know, they're giving them, which is why I think they probably put them as a team to help them to do this first time. And honestly, I think they did a pretty good job. I enjoyed this episode quite a bit. John's over here like, I'm going to critique them even harder now.
the gloves are off.
Yep. All right. So the summary.
I've got my gavel.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Be careful with that. he had a hammer, folks, for those of you not watching the video. A legit hammer, not an actual gavel.
For those of you not watching, I just want to document for the record that Josh has taken his pants off.
No one can prove that because you can't see below. Like my chest line.
Put your pants on, Josh.
By the way, not wearing a white shirt today, sir. Yellow.
Or have you just been wearing it so long that it stays yellow?
Don't tell. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you flip your shirt over and sniff it a bunch of times and hope that one more day without washing it'll be just fine.
No comment.
If I had to comment on the color of Josh's shirt, I'd call it R. Kelly's sheets.
I mean, that's probably accurate. I haven't seen R. Kelly's sheets, but I think that's probably accurate.
All right, back to the show.
All right, summary for this episode. Sophie tries to parent trap her parents. I mean, who else are you parent trapping if not your parents?
I was going to say, right? Who else are you fucking parent trapping?
Yeah. Sid and Ellen try their own master plan to nudge Jesse and Charlie into being roommates with each other. Yeah, there we go.
I mean, that's right. pretty well ties up the synopsis for this one.
Yeah, it's just two storylines running, really, is what it is. And we're going to get into these. Okay, so Sophie starts things off. She's planning a parent trap. Like we said in the beginning, because she wants her parents back together. She's real giddy about it.
Hell yeah, she is.
This whole episode, at least this part of the episode, made me think of New Girl. Remember when Jess was trying to do the parent trap?
Yep.
It made me think exactly of that. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes me laugh because she makes this comment that she wants to parent trap her parents. And I love how Ellen chips in and she's like, oh, we tried to parent trap our parents once and it didn't work so well. And they flash back to Jesse and Ellen trying to parent trap their parents.
Yeah, as little kids, yeah.
And they're like, nobody will know. How are they going to know?
I love it because they're dressed the same. And then Jesse's like putting this this wig on so that he looks like Ellen. Hilarious.
I was like, there's clearly a height difference between the two of them. And I mean, that's the biggest difference. I mean, otherwise, you might not have known. But I mean,
I give him credit for like having for really sticking to it, having the commitment to it. To be like, this is going to work. We believe
it. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't see the differences that we see as adults. Like, clearly Ellen isn't, you know, the same looking as Jesse. Not to mention, one's a boy, one's a girl.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're blind to that kind of shit when you're a kid. It's gonna work.
True. Yeah, it's very true.
I thought I could fly as a kid.
And I don't think that probably worked out too well, did it?
No, because I mean, I didn't jump off things. I thought that I was running fast enough that I would jump, and then I was extending my body out like a flat.
Oh,
manner.
Gotcha.
I thought I was like flying like short bursts and then landing. Turns out I was just like running and like jumping.
You're just sailing through the air.
Kind of.
I like it. I like it. I should try that again now as an adult. We'll film it. We'll put it on the internet. And then we can have our very own edition of Drunk or Kid.
Back it up, Terry!
Yep, there it is. All right, so Sophie has set up a romantic dinner with a hot but forgettable waiter and a harpist named Harper.
Now, is it the same Harper that we're thinking of? Is it Harper Harper?
I don't know who you're thinking of.
Isn't that the girl that Jesse's talking to right now? Is Harper?
No, that's Parker.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's like go, Bo, go. You see how that sounds alike?
I said no, Bo, no.
Oh, man.
But
did
they
throw hot dogs at you?
They might have. But Sophie, she has a family bucket list that she wants to, she's trying to complete here. It includes things like apple picking, a 3-seat bicycle ride, and family portraits at the JCPenney.
Which she's been practicing her posing for.
Yep. Is JCPenney even still a thing? I don't even know.
I mean, ours here closed, so
I know.
I don't know.
I don't know when the last time was I saw a JCPenney. So,
do you remember their jingle though still?
No, I don't.
JCPenney doing it right.
There you go. That's a fucking trip to the past there, folks. And kids, JCPenney was a department store that sold, clothing and the whatnots.
High-end clothing at that. It wasn't for cheap and, like, broke
people. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd call the clothing itself high-end, but it sure as shit was expensive.
Yeah, it was like $40 for one fucking button-up.
Yeah, it was pricey stuff.
I mean, that's fair.
I think overpriced is what I would say.
Dude, do you remember the time we went to JCPenney's right after Dad passed away? And we were asking about the big and tall section, and they sent us to, like, this corner of the store that was, like...
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was legitimately people, like, if this is the boundaries of the store, we were over here in this, like, little nook and cranny corner that wasn't even in the store, technically. We were in, like, a hallway that we could have, like...
It was almost like an annex.
Yeah.
To it. It really was. And
there was
weird.
A door there. We legally could have picked shit up and walked out a door without anybody realizing it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say legally, but literally, sure.
Literally, legally. I mean,
I think that's the last time I have seen a JCPenney. So it's been like 3 years since I've even seen an open JCPenney.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Interesting stuff, man. Have you ever been on a multi-seat bicycle?
No, never.
She talks about a 3-seater, but I mean, they make 2-seaters as well.
Well, yeah, they're called tandem bikes.
Sure.
I have never been on anything that seats more than one.
Okay. Yeah, me either. I don't even know, honestly, just like JCPenney, I don't know if I've seen one in real life.
Oh, I have. I've seen tandem bikes, but I've never been on one.
Get shot again, everybody.
Oh, and while Josh is out of it, I will continue the story. But no, I've seen tandem bikes, but never been on one. And it's not anything that I've ever been interested in enough to be I need to ride this multi-person bike down this street.
They just seem awkward and difficult, and I just, no thanks.
Listen, you know me and my temper, and how I like things like precisely accurate. Could you see me on a bike relying on somebody else to pedal at the same time?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I trust. There's very few people that I even trust enough to be like, yes, we are going to do this together. I don't know. I would rather do it myself. You can get your own bike and ride next to me. And that way, if I want to get away from you, I can just ride away from you.
That reminds me of a certain story.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear the story of Josh and I biking through midnight hours with cans of green spray paint, hit us up on Patreon and we will not tell you that story legally, but we will tell you a similar story.
It's true. It's true.
Of all right. Two guys we knew with green spray paint.
Yes. All right. So this is where the stories split. I think we should start with the Sophie one, Sophie Vale and her parents, mainly because the everyone else storyline, hers merges with it.
It does.
In the middle of it. So what I'm thinking is we talk about, you know, the Sophie Vale stuff until that point, going to the other one, and then because the end of the episode is the rest of the Sophie and her parents thing. So I think it would work out. I think it would work out that way.
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to start with Sophie Vale and Sophie's parents. All right. So they are, Sophie and Vale, they are setting up for this romantic dinner. You know, the flower petal, rose petals all over the table. Got the...
All over the table, bro. Yeah,
got the harpist there. Then we see the waiter come out. And Sophie's like, no. No.
Too hot.
Distractingly hot.
She's like, I asked for hot but forgettable. And he's like, I'll send over, and I think he said Ray.
Greg. It was Greg.
But before he can walk away, Valentina steals his little order book. She opens it and proceeds to, I'm assuming, write down her phone number.
Yeah.
Because she's like, contact me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, she's ready for this, dude.
All I'm going to say is, if a guy did that, if we were to, like, take a girl's order book and write our number down, we would be sexual predator.
Or at the very least, come off kind of creepy. Unless she's into it. I don't know.
I mean,
if he wasn't into her in the slightest, that he might be like, no. You know, I don't know. But they're both hot people.
I would love to know the ratio of men who shoot down Val and Sophie on a regular.
Yeah.
Like, what is their batting average? Like, what is their, like, you know...
Good question. Because, like... you would think it's high that they don't, not that they get turned down high, that they
succeed high.
Yeah, that they have. I mean, they're
beautiful
average.
Women.
Exactly, but hey, some dudes are weird. Some dudes just have very specific type, and it ain't them.
That is true.
You know what I mean? So, but she I love that. I feel bad a little bit bad for this Greg guy.
Because he's attractive but forgettable?
Yeah, like, she says this to the waiter that comes out, and that's the first thing he's like, I'll go get Greg. Like, he knows exactly who is hot but also forgettable. And it's like, ow, man, that hurts a little bit for him, I think.
Well, what would have made the scene funnier is if he's like, I don't think we have a waiter here like that. And then Greg walks into the picture, obviously attractive. He's like, oh, yeah, Greg works here.
That would have been funny. Yeah.
Because then, you know, attractive, but forgettable.
But forgettable. Yeah. So Sophie, she's worried about how the night will go. And as she's kind of worrying about this, Vale spots something out the window.
Yeah, she does.
What does she see, John?
A public disturbance. There are two people mauling each other. It's pandemonium, people.
Yep,
it's cats and dogs
living together.
I'm so glad you know what's going with that. Fuck. Oh my god. But yeah, it's Sophie's parents, and they're just making out, and I mean, like, hardcore, like, like Jabba the Hutt dying.
100%, 100%, man. And and Sophie's a bit like freaked out about this, you know. She's like, "What's happening here?"
Personally, I'm gonna step out of the story for a second, and I'm gonna say personally, I think she overreacts to this.
Yes,
because like she's like, "Oh, I want my parents together," but then you see your parents actually kind of getting along.
Yeah, dude. That entire first part when she's like being shitty to them, right? Throughout this whole scene, I'm like, you literally want them to get together. What is your problem?
Yeah.
Like, I'm yelling at them.
You know what the problem was? And I'm going to say it now because I don't want to have to address this later. she's shitty at them because it didn't happen on her accord. Well,
no. See, that's what I thought originally. That's not really what it is. She is... The whole thing is, she wanted them back together because she wanted a family. The three of them. But them getting together on their own was just the two of them. And they're off doing stuff without Sophie. Sophie's not involved. Like, they're being a couple kind of a thing, but yeah, not being a family. You know what I mean? She okay. wants a family. That's the whole thing. She want, remember? Three-person bike and pictures at JCPenney's. She wants a family, not just to have her parents boning.
Listen, like, she should call up Dominic Toretto. He's all about family.
Family. It's all about family.
I don't have friends. I have family.
I have family. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get from me today. You're going to get a lot of fucking... I've been drinking for a while, so...
There it is, folks.
You're going to get a lot of greatness out of me tonight.
Oh, man. All right, so Sophie's mom, Lori, walks in, and she's acting like, you know, like obviously like nothing happened, but she has no idea who Nick actually is. Like, oh, I'm excited to meet him for the first time. And then Nick walks in like a minute later.
Well, doesn't she have some excuse, too, that like he was held up in traffic?
Well, no, that's what Sophie says. Like, oh, he must have been held up in traffic. What does she say at the smooch something? I don't know. She says something under her breath.
Smoochville.
Like on his way to Smoochville. Yeah. but then he walks in and they're acting. Like, not the actors, the characters acting is so bad that even if they hadn't seen them kissing, like, there's no way they wouldn't have known. Like, come on.
I mean...
That something was up. Like, it's pretty obvious that they knew each other just from the way, oh, hello there, stranger.
Like, yeah.
If I she's mean,
it
never,
was pretty
if
bad.
If she doesn't even remember him, she wouldn't remember what he looked like. How would she have known he was Nick coming in? Like, how that was
fair. That is true. But, I mean, Sophie calls their bullshit right away anyway.
Yes, yes.
She's like, listen, we saw you guys outside. And that's when, like, her mom reveals that, like, they'd been on a couple, like, she went to, like, scope Nick out to make sure he was a good guy.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because, like, they're showing us one thing and she's telling Sophie another, how they were just hanging out. But clearly, like, she's on the counter and they're making out. And then I love how Nick goes, and then things got hot and heavy.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh boy. And then he's like, be careful, this pan's very hot. And then here she comes and she's like, and heavy.
Dude, I love that joke. It was too funny to me.
It was a total dad joke.
It was a great visual gag for the episode. I love it.
It was.
And yeah, you're right. It was a total dad joke. Absolutely.
But I mean, so we clearly know that they're hanging out. We know that they've
They've been seeing each other for a few weeks now, is what she said. A few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And
crazy shit.
They, her mom, or is it her dad? I don't know. One of them reveals that they went to Coney Island together.
Yeah, and got hot dogs.
Salmon.
Oh yeah, salmon. Yeah.
Because she, like, threw up after going... But, like, Sophie gets real upset because, you know, apparently on her Instagram, she's a roller coaster fanatic, according to that. But this ties into that whole thing of she feels like she's being left out of this family that she's trying to... That she wants to put back together.
Makes sense. I mean, so both of us come from what I'm going to call... Broken families. I'm not going to use the word dysfunctional. Use the word
broken. I think
broken.
Works. Yeah.
Tell me. Well, I mean, you at least had it a little different than I did. You had your mom and dad in the picture.
Yeah.
But tell me, you wouldn't have at least killed to have had like your parents at the same time together again for something.
For a long time, that was. Something I wanted I desperately wanted them to be together because they split up when I was five, you know? And so like, I don't even really remember because I don't remember much from before I was like seven, You know what I mean? So I barely even remember them together. So all I've ever really known was them apart. And it, even with that, it was painful because I'd see my dad like on the weekends and in the summer, you know what I mean? And so that, and it was very difficult. Yeah. But I know you had it even more difficult when it came to that.
Oh, I could imagine. I could imagine. And on the other hand, like,
you don't need to imagine because I said you had it more difficult.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I didn't know my father, and that's the only thing that makes it more difficult. Was like my father wasn't in the picture at all. So it's always been like, well, what's he like? What do I need to know? Like, what is that side of my family?
You were like Sophie.
Yes. Really? I mean, I have an amazing, and I don't ever use this term, so this is going to be the one time I'm ever going to say it like this. I've had an amazing stepfather in my life for, you know, it was 1991 when they got married. So, I mean, he's been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, him and I don't have a strong connection between us. I mean, like, I don't want to get into it on the podcast, but I mean, you know what I've been through with him.
Yeah,
it's not sunshine and rainbows over here.
Yeah.
And I mean, even after my mom's passing, it hasn't been fucking sunshine and rainbows. It's been fucking, I had a dream the other day that him and I got into a fight because he wanted to sell off the rest of my mom's stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Don't even get me started. We'll get back to the show, but that's a whole nother. I need therapy, people. Like, remember, cash tag JMade1. Pay for my therapy. It's
therapy fun. There you go. All right. Yeah. So Sophie takes off, man. She runs off out of the. It's funny because her dad, Nick, is like, I think she's wrapped. I think she's starting to wrap her head around it. Yeah. And Vale's like, oh, she's running away. And you just see her just darting by the window, just like what she did with Robert.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Things got a little too hard. She bailed, jumped out of the window, and took off.
I mean, it's fight or flight, bro.
Yeah.
Sophie's clearly a flight person.
Absolutely, man.
Call, bang, fuck, I'm dead.
There it is. We then get a scene with future Sophie where her son is ragging her for running away. And then she points out that he ran away once when she and his father said he couldn't go to an Olivia Rodrigo farewell tour concert. Which I thought was really funny. But this line made me think that could theoretically damper the whole donor theory because the way she's like, you know, me and your dad. But then it got me thinking, not necessarily, because hopefully if the donor theory is the theory is, you know, correct, hopefully the father is still very involved.
I was going to say, it doesn't mean the father's not involved.
Yeah. So like, I was thinking, I was like, oh, that's going to put a damper on that. Then I was like, well, not necessarily, because I would hope that the two of them, even if they weren't actually a couple, would still be like, okay, he wants to do this thing and communicate with each other. And if then theoretically they could both be like, no, I don't think you should go to this farewell.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I say donor theory still on the table, John.
It means, though, that the person, the father's at least into music as well, though.
Yeah, you think
Jesse's
so?
Jesse's still on the table.
I mean, it's true. I do.
On the table, on the couch, on the chair. You know what I'm saying.
It's true. All right, so that is where we're going to... yep, a little sex gong action going on. That is where we're going to pause the Sophie Vale and Sophie's parents stuff because it will tie directly into what we talk about next.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right. So with the everyone else era, starts off with Ellen in her apartment putting up a sheet wall that falls.
I love that she's trying to put it up with, like, it's clearly like a clothesline and like the clips.
No, I think it's safety pins.
No, it was those black clips that you like you squeeze.
Oh, I thought she was putting. I thought she was using safety pins.
Oh no, it was those fucking like black clips.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm like, it's too much weight for that fucking clothesline if that clothesline's not tied off right, and it fell just like I assumed it would.
Yeah. And then Sid walks in, which I was not expecting.
Nope.
Like that, he was not the person. Like, obviously, I was just expecting Charlie to walk in and be like, "What are you doing?" or something. But Sid just. Didn't knock, just walked Dude, in.
And he looked so sad.
He did. Ellen's like, I'm not doing my Ariana Grande impression. And he gives her this look, and she does it. And it's just like this little, I have no idea. I don't really know much anything about Ariana Grande or whether or not that's accurate as to something that she would do. But do you, John? Are you familiar?
No, I mean, okay. I don't really listen to Ariana Grande.
That's fair. But yeah, so I honestly thought that this was going to be like Sid having like second thoughts on marriage with Hannah and Kate coming to talk to the only other person in the group who has been married.
Yeah, I thought that that's what this like where this was going as well was like the whole Hannah and Taylor thing.
Yeah.
And it went a whole different route. And I was like, oh, I'm like, they got us, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad because, like, I try not to, like, read the synopsis before I watch it. So, like, I'm glad that I didn't because it kind of tells us what Ellen and Sid are doing. So I might not have had that thought, but I'm glad that I had that thought because it's more interesting.
Well, I mean, it's weird, though, at the same time, though, because it's like, it opens a doorway because they don't get a lot of one-on-one interaction when they're usually hanging out at the bar or with the group.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows us that they have that bond. So maybe when things finally do go down between him and Hannah, maybe Ellen will be the person he goes to, being maybe. The only other person who's went through it.
Yeah, maybe. So Sid reveals that he wants Jesse to move out so that him and Hannah can have the apartment together when she gets back there, which I saw, you know, that's very similar to the whole Marshall, Lily, Ted situation.
Yep.
And since we like to talk about Scrubs a lot, also happened with Turk, Carla, and JD.
Turk, Carla, and JD.
Yeah, man. So it's like
just Turkleton.
Yep, the Turkletons. Turkletons,
but
yep.
Here's the thing that bothered me about it is that because we've watched How I Met Your Mother countless times, mm-hmm. Why couldn't they share the apartment for a little bit?
I mean,
Jesse brings up a good point. Isn't she just going to be in Sid's room? Are you going to be married and have two separate rooms?
Yeah, it's like, why does it have to happen instantaneously?
And that's it. He wants it like, boom, you're out the apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, first off, she hasn't even moved home yet. And it's probably not going to be for months anyway. Give him a chance to get his feet under him because, like, you're fucking sideswiping him at this point and being like, hey, by the way, you're going to need to be gone, like, yesterday.
Yeah. So I want to bring up I have this in my questions section, but I want to bring it up now.
Okay.
It's something I hadn't thought about before watching this. Sid and Hannah got married without ever living together. Now, I've lived with two significant others in my life, okay? One of them, we were over four years before we moved in together, and within 2 months, we broke up.
Yep.
Couldn't do it.
Nope.
You know, and the other one, we moved in together after 8 months, and then ended up getting married, and we're together for, you know, over a decade, so.
Talk about flipping the coin.
It's pretty crazy, but I do think that it is very important to live with somebody before you get married because if you can't stand living with them, that's huge.
Oh yeah. Well, there's also like differences in living styles too, because like when you and I live together, we have two very different cleaning styles.
That's true.
We still at the same time keep apartments like the apartment was clean.
Yeah.
It's just you're more of a, I'm going to make this pile, and then I'm going to dissect this pile, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm tearing the whole room apart to put it back together.
Very true.
Sometimes that doesn't merge well together, but our personalities allowed us to tear apart a room and make piles and then dissect everything.
It's true.
And there was, like, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to go with this? Like, where I'm trying to go with this? It's not always easy moving in with somebody.
It's not.
And having a difference in lifestyles.
That's why I'm going to ask this question now. Do you think them moving in together is going to be the thing that splits them up?
No. I think it's going to be her moving home and abandoning her life.
You think it's going to be even before they actually move in together?
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's going to. I don't think she's coming home at all.
Okay.
I think, excuse me, I think she's going to stay in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I don't think Hannah's coming home at all.
Okay.
Good job, friends.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Taylor that's going to come up and lead them into having issues with one another. And then somehow the Taylor thing is going to escalate into, well, you want me to move home for you and you hid this from me. Blah, 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 whatever things are going to be said. And she's going to be like, well, I'm giving up my life in Los Angeles for you. And you couldn't even be honest with me. And then she's just going to stay out there.
Interesting. Okay.
Because otherwise, if she stays in New York, they have to write an episode or two where he would possibly run into her.
Yeah.
No, I know New York is a big place, but like, theoretically, you're running into somebody sooner or later.
I mean, Ted ran into Stella a few times.
At least twice.
So, I mean, yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I'm really intrigued as to how it's all going to play out, man. That's what I love about watching this show.
I mean, listen, man. So if good. Watching professional wrestling and soap operas with my grandmother for years have taught me anything, it's that storyline makes sense when there's conflict.
It's true. It's very true. Speaking of conflict, John, I really think that if they wanna really decide who gets this apartment, they need to have a duel.
Duel. I thought the same thing. Yep. I was like, are we gonna get a duel? And nope. Instead, because like they do like this whole thing where like they're brushing their teeth and like they're singing a song and
another parody.
Yeah.
Yep. Jesse loves those parody songs, man.
And I'm just like, whatever. But then like, you know, they jump on the, we should parent trap Jesse and Charlie and get them together and let them move in together.
Yes, because, we hadn't actually talked about it yet, but Ellen also wants Charlie out.
Yeah.
Because, not specifically she wants Charlie out, but she wants to move out because she finally has a good paying job. We find out that she's making six figures, man.
Six figures.
And I'm like, I guess she really is rich city bitch Ellen. Because I mean, damn, six figures. But like, that's why are you living in this crappy apartment?
Well, and I thought that too. I'm like, so she's been making six figures, which means she could have at least upgraded hers and Charlie's lifestyle a little bit. Not saying you need to bring Charlie along for the ride, but she's clearly not going to kick him to the curb.
Yeah. I mean, we find out later, apparently, Sid pays for the
seven-eighths.
The vast majority of that fucking apartment.
It's I was like, I want to know how much they pay for that apartment and so what seven-eighths of, like, their rent would be.
I mean, it's New York City, and it's a big apartment.
Yeah.
That ain't cheap, man. That ain't cheap at all. A couple grand easy? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a good thing that Sid's a bar owner.
Right?
Man.
I mean, yeah, because like 7/8 of that, you're talking like, that means if it, say it's $2,000, Jesse's paying $250.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Starving artist, man.
It's like, you're a teacher. Like, I get that teachers don't make a lot, but like, I don't buy for a second that you can't afford to pay more in your rent than that. Like, come on, man.
I don't know.
Especially, how does the, unless the apartment is like rent controlled and so it's super, super cheap or something. But like, how the fuck would Sid, with a failing bar, because he always has talked about how he's like hemorrhaging money out of this bar or whatever.
Hemorrhaging.
affording to pay that kind of rent.
Right.
You know what I mean? 7/8 of this giant apartment. Like,
I mean, it definitely, a lot of questions add up fast with like this.
Yeah. Story. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like Home Alone. It's like, how did that dad afford that house and then be able to take all those kids and family members to Paris?
Whole family.
Telling you. He worked for the mob.
Espionage.
He's a mob accountant.
I mean,
he cooks the books. I'm telling you, for the Irish mob. I'm telling you, man. Kevin McAllister's dad cooking books.
That would explain why Kevin knew how to make all those traps.
Yeah, man. His Uncle Sergio. Well, if it's Irish, his uncle. Give me an Irish name.
Uncle Guido.
No, that's Italian. His uncle Seamus.
Oh yeah, Uncle Seamus.
His Uncle Seamus.
Uncle McFlannery. Oh,
there you go. All right, so Sid makes a comment that Jesse can't live alone. You know, he says he has to Heimlich the dude twice a week, and I'm like, well, we have seen him choke already in the episode where thought he was gonna die, and then we see it again later on in the episode.
Yeah, so and like, I was like, damn, though, twice a week.
Apparently, he can choke on shit twice a week.
I think he needs to learn better chewing habits.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we see him literally just shove a bunch of shit in his mouth and then almost instantly start to choke on it. It's like, dude, fucking chew your food. Come on.
Right?
Chew your food. Then based on Sophie's idea for a parent trap, this is where they decide they're going to do a roommate trap to convince Jesse and Charlie to be roommates. So to get them to bond, they devise a plan for a sleepover.
John. Sleepover!
Sleepover, 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 sleepover. That's right. I still wish they had put that in the
club. Not a Scrubs reference.
It's not. It's not. I mean, a lot of the Scrubs cast is in that show, though.
I mean, it is. You're not wrong.
It's made from the same guy. And it was even all the audio for that original season of Clone Eye was recorded in the basement of Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart, yep.
Fucking awesome stuff, man.
Kids, Clone Eye is a show from like 2001.
2003.
2003. They were frozen for 20 years.
Yeah, there you go. That would make sense. Yeah. But yeah, folks, if you haven't watched any of it, go watch it. It's good stuff.
It's funny.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
You can work on your finger snaps and your up-haws.
Yeah. Just remember, G-spot rocks a G-spot.
And if you're a good kid and you go watch that show, and leave a comment down below with your favorite character on the next episode, I'll do my JFK impersonation.
Boom. There we go. All right. So we head over to Jesse and Sid's apartment, where Jesse is alphabetizing his record collection.
Yeah. Who the fuck alphabetizes their records?
I don't know. I used to do it with my DVDs and shit.
Yeah, DVDs are different. They're movies. They should be alphabetized. But records? It's music, man. They should be grouped together by category. Rock together, country together.
Well, I feel like you could say the same for movies, man. Genres, horror together, comedies together. You could say the same.
Then Showgirls would be in fucking the comedy section, but we all know Showgirls isn't a comedy.
absolutely terrifying, man.
The worst horror movie I've ever seen. Or the best, depending on which way you watch it.
So, once again, we get someone who does not live in an apartment, just walking into an apartment, with Charlie just walking in, you know, so it has really become like the gang in How I Met Your Mother, where they just
didn't
matter.
In.
Just walking in didn't really matter. So yeah, Charlie just walks in. He's like, yo, can I crash here? Because apparently Ellen said she has her super period.
Super period.
Yeah. I
wonder if that's anything like a super date.
Super date. I don't know, man, but it's interesting if it is. So they claim that Sid is working late, and so it's just the two of them. And this is where we learn. They don't learn, but we learn that they are being monitored with a nanny cam. Yeah, we don't quite know it's a nanny cam technically yet.
I mean, I kind of assumed it was like one of those like teddy bear cams, because I mean, it's sitting in a fucking plant. Like, come on.
It is. It is sitting.
It's not like it's a camcorder randomly sitting on top of your refrigerator where you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
Could be like a GoPro.
I mean, it could be.
But it's not. We do find out later it's a nanny cam. And that gives us some whole new hilarity later
on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Charlie's reading a book, The Vet Vet. I thought that was clever. And Ellen reveals that they apparently read books together at home. Like,
yeah, which, you know, I thought this was awkward.
One book, one chair, two people, like,
and a cup of tea.
Yeah, and a cup of tea just right there. Like, I couldn't do that. I mean,
nope.
Unless the person reads slower than me, which is unlikely because I don't read very fast when I'm reading books. I just don't. it's gonna be like they're gonna be sitting there waiting on me. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either. I wouldn't want to. No way. I mean, buy two copies of the book and just read it.
100%.
You know, do it that way. Have like a book club sort of thing where it's you know, read a couple chapters, talk about it. There you go. Boom. But yeah, doing it the way they're doing it. No, thank you. No, thank you.
I mean, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah. Ellen then makes a suggestion here, which I thought was pretty damn funny. She suggests leaving a baby on the doorstep to help them bond. And it instantly made me... She can get a baby. It instantly made me think of when Ted and Barney wanted to raise a child together.
See, you went that route. And I'm thinking Scrubs, where JD and Mandy Moore's character, they're on the half acre, and the guy's like, want to buy a baby? Ooh, do we want to buy a baby?
Oh man, good stuff. Good stuff.
Then that comes up again later on in the episode where JD's like, unless you guys want to buy a baby, and Turk's like, what? And he's like, don't tell him. You might want to buy that baby later.
You might want to buy that baby later. Oh man. But no, instead, Ellen drops off a game sneakily through the window by the fire escape. And the game is Say It or Do It, the electronic male bonding game for men featuring the voice of Rob Gronkowski. And Rock. I gotta admit, man, I was really bummed that there was no like Aldrin Games logo or reference to that.
Oh man, that could have been awesome.
It would have been a perfect Aldrin Games because it's such a weird game. You know what I mean? And I think it would have been a perfect game.
I mean, you're not wrong. It makes me laugh though, because it's definitely a Marshall styled game.
Yeah, like it's true.
Which is why I don't think it would be an Aldrin Games, because Mickey makes some really weird games, but like this is more Marshall Marsh Gammon than
that
it is.
Yeah, that is true. I doubt that he was over here creating games, but I still think it would have been a nice little Easter egg to just put
it definitely,
like, maybe not even mention it, just like in the corner of the box. Just has the little Aldrin logo.
I'm betting you scoped that box too. You're like, let me see.
All three times I watched the episode, I was checking that every side of that box that they showed. Nothing. Not a single thing. I was really
sad.
But so they start to play the game and they're answering personal questions and doing like bonding things like hugging for a five count. Jesse has to bench press Charlie at one point, which was, we don't get to see it, but he apparently didn't make it.
And that makes me laugh, because I was like, man, I was like, we've done weird shit like that.
It's true. It's definitely true. And then Jesse reveals that his biggest fear is winding up alone. I can relate.
Even though he's with Parker.
Yeah, it's true. Before I had my kid, that was my biggest fear. Yeah.
Still my biggest fear.
Well, mine is something happening to my kid now.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah. But being alone, like winding up alone forever, yeah, that's high on the list now. You know, it's way up there.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
But yeah, he also shares, you know, things are with Parker are going great, you know, and they're now exclusive.
Exclusive. She's going to stop seeing all the people that she had on the side. He had no people on the side.
He had no people to stop seeing, so it works out.
I loved that comment. Like, that made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
I have no people to stop seeing.
Yeah, and he's cool about it, you know? But yeah, Jesse and Charlie are really starting to bond, and Sid and Ellen, they're getting jealous here, man.
They're getting really jealous.
So jealous that Sid gets up and just runs out of the bar. Yeah.
And then Ellen grabs her phone and follows.
Now, my question is, who's running the bar? Like, we don't actually see anybody behind the bar. I didn't catch anybody.
Maybe it's that lazy kid.
Well, because I remember a few episodes back, remember I said I caught a glimpse of another bartender?
Yeah.
And, like, I remember, I think this was, like, maybe 4 episodes ago. But then, like, a couple episodes after that, I remember seeing him just, like, walk by in one scene. And he had, like, the apron on. So I was like, oh, okay. It's like, randomly, he's just there. So it must be this guy. Because we don't really see much of him. But I have to assume that, because Sid wasn't even behind the bar. Like, he's just at a table anyways.
We'll go with that.
Someone's got to be running the bar. It ain't Charlie.
True. Yeah.
So, because Charlie is on the video. So has to be this other guy, unless there's more employees that we just don't know about. I don't know. But yeah, so they run out of the bar, and they burst into the apartment.
I
love Ellen. She's like, my super period's over. So I'm back. And then Sid's like, I'm back too. Now, Charlie, get out. Yeah. It was not going so well for them with all of that. And Jesse and Charlie end up revealing that they knew almost the whole time, because we find out that apparently somebody, I'm assuming probably Ellen, had accidentally turned on the two-way mic to this nanny cam. Yeah.
I mean, it was on her phone, so I'm assuming it was her.
Yeah. It's just,
and they overheard her and Sid talking, and, you know, they realized they were being watched. So they set them up.
Yes, they did. I love their, like, they hit the button and it asks, like, who's your bestest bud or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like they're going to say one another. And that's when they're like, gotcha. It's like, okay, that's clever. I like it. And so, you know, they talk it all out. You know, Charlie doesn't understand why Ellen would want to live alone. You know, because she's like, why, like, if not for saving money, why would anybody live with a roommate?
Right.
You know? But Charlie's like, it's more than that to him, you know.
It is. It's camaraderie. It's friendship. It's love.
Absolutely. And Jesse didn't think that Hannah would be moving in as soon as she came back. Which
we were addressing a little while ago.
Yeah. And again, doesn't understand why he has to be the one to move out. And this is where we find out Sid's paying 7/8 of the rent. And it's like,
7/8, man.
Yeah. And then, yeah, this is where Jesse grabs some food and starts to choke. And Sid does the Heimlich on him, right?
Wrong.
But it's incorrect. I don't understand what he's doing here, because, like, Jesse's arms across his chest. It's like, that ain't going to work. Jesse going to die if he's actually choking.
And I thought that same thing. I was like, he's doing the Heimlich wrong. I was like, but whatever.
Very wrong, yeah. But apparently he wasn't really choking all that much, because he just kind of spit it out and storms off into his room. All right. Now, this is where the story merges. You know, we were talking about before at the end of the Sophie stuff. Everything merges here when Sophie just comes busting into the apartment and is like,
I never want to see my parents again.
Yeah, my parents are together and I don't ever want to see them again.
And then there's the knock on the door, which I thought was very respectful by Sophie's parents.
But it was also really fast.
I mean,
like, they must have been, because, like, she was running. They must have gotten up from that table right, like, when the scene cut, and bolted after her to get there within seconds of her getting into the door.
Maybe.
Like, it was really, really fast. But yeah, and then she runs off and hides in Jesse's room and hides under his desk, which I thought was hilarious.
Yep.
I loved her line. He's like, I'm in here trying to mope. And she's like, stop being childish. Now I'm going to hide under your desk from my parents.
Yeah. And I loved it because this leads them to have a heart to heart about, you know, everything that's going on with Sophie and her parents.
Yeah.
And he points out that she's got exactly what she wants. Mm-hmm. You know, she feels excluded and she feels hurt and she feels angry. And he's like, you're part of a family.
You're a family now. Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes her super happy. And now she's got to go back to her parents.
Yeah. We do get a little bit of them kind of talking about their relationship too.
Yeah.
Which I liked because they talk about how it ended before it even started. And that comes back at the end when it comes to Sophie's parents, you know. Yep. And we'll get to that when we get there, but it's definitely something that I was like, I like that they were planting that little seed earlier to get to the end and how they're kind of playing with this as we are getting close to the end of the season.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The moment when her parents are like talking to Sophie, as if, like pretending that they don't know she's there, but so loud enough so she can hear. But then Vale's like, mention the tiramisu. And then as soon as they do, you hear a bang, a thud, and she screams because she got so excited about the tiramisu. And then I'm pretty sure she does have a little bit of a concussion, man.
Oh, I think she does. Do I have a concussion? No, you're fine. Do you think I have a concussion?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's concussion protocol for sure.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so, her parents leave. And then after the whole talk with Jesse, Sophie comes out and she's going to leave. Vale stays behind, though. You know, she's excited about getting weird with the hot waiter. You know, she talks about that a little bit. And then Sid and Jesse talk it out a bit and come to terms with the fact that it's an end of an era for them, you know.
Yep.
They're finally going to, not live together again. And I had a funny side note about this line because they specifically say it's an end of an era. The How I Met Your Father Twitter page did a watch along for the episode. They do that every week and they live tweet while the episode is going on, like while they're doing this watch along. And they posted a tweet at the end of toward the end of it saying, like the tweet just said end of an era and had a broken heart emoji. Okay. And the people in the comments were freaking out because they thought it had something. They thought that it meant the show got canceled because they obviously hadn't watched.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, damn, that's I understood what they were doing, like with the tweet, because they were just, like I said, they're just live tweeting. End of an era. Broken heart. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, that's exactly how I felt after Undertaker and Hunter fought in that Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels as a special guest and that end of an era match.
Yeah.
Brokenhearted, man.
Brokenhearted. And then Ellen changes her mind about moving out because she can't imagine living without Charlie right now, you know? Just I'm wondering if they're going to get a new place, though.
I mean, I could see that.
Six figures and living in that dump, like, come on.
Like, I mean, it's a nice little apartment, but it's too small for them.
It's like, you got six figures, you can get at least a somewhat nicer apartment. Like, come on. Something. Upgrade. At least paint the damn walls, man.
Maybe they'll find something in Dois de Trepois.
Oh, no. That would be hilarious if they end up in the slanted apartment.
No, it wouldn't be, because the upstairs neighbor bought the apartment.
That's true, yeah. Plus, they fixed it anyways. They fixed it before, so it wouldn't be slanted anyways. All right, so then now we are going to enter into the ending of the episode where Sophie returns to the restaurant. She apologizes to her parents. Her parents apologize to her. And they reveal that since the first time around was over before it began, they wanted to wait and see where this was going before saying something, which I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, because they didn't want to get her hopes up.
Yeah, fucking why jinx it?
Yeah, exactly. And this makes Sophie think about her talk with Jesse that we were discussing a little bit about how their relationship was over before it ever began, really.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe it's not over for them. You know, maybe they'll get a second chance. Who knows? Maybe. You know, that's what she's kind of thinking here. Because, as they say in the episode, there's something to be said for second chances. Then Sophie gets a text from her friends, you know, because they're having a game night.
Game night.
Which I thought was cool. I was like, oh, yeah, man, game night. Like, you know, back to old school, you know, How I Met Your Mother, having a nice game night, good stuff. And she's about to go.
And then she gets a pitcher.
Yeah. And who's Parker in that picture?
Parker brought tequila.
Yep, yep. And she changes her mind. She's not ready to deal with that.
I don't blame her. Yeah. It's a fresh wound, man. Let it heal a little bit first.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So.
So she sits back down with her parents, and they have a little bit more of a talk. Her dad clearly ate the tiramisu before he left.
Yes, he did, man. Yes, he did. But yeah, that's the episode. Season 2, episode 18, Parent Trap. John, what are your overall thoughts on the episode?
I thought it was a sweet episode, honestly. Yeah. This is a heartstring episode. This isn't one of those, like, funny ha-has. This is like, there's a lot of emotional shit going on that they're clearly all dealing with, and they're all trying to get their footing under them. So it's a good episode, but it's
ramping to the end, because next week is the end. The last two episodes, they're dropping them both next week.
Oh, shit.
And so that's the end of the season is next week. So like I said, they're ramping up toward that, and it's going to be interesting to see where it all goes. Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the finale of the season when we talk about it here at Last Call at Pemberton's.
Absolutely. So I do have a couple of questions left. I addressed a couple of them throughout the episode, but I still have a couple. Do you think Sophie will reveal her feelings for Jesse before the season ends? And if so, what do you think Jesse will say?
I don't think Sophie's going to reveal her feelings for Jesse before the end of the season. I think she's going to harbor it and bottle it up and not say anything.
Okay.
Because as of right now, she has no reason to. He's happy with Parker, and she's kind of doing her own thing. That's self-discovery, fair. Her parents, she's got work. So I don't think she's going to bring it up right now. I think it'll be put to the wayside.
Do you think it will happen? Do you think that we will see Lost and Found Box Day in the next season and have him find that paper again?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he'll be the one. I think somebody, either he's going to take the piece of paper or somebody else is going to take the piece of paper and realize it and be like, this is for Jesse.
Yeah.
It'll get to him.
Yeah. All right. I see.
What's
you.
Your other question, Bromigo?
Do you think we will see Vale and the hot waiter date? Or is it just a quick off-screen fling?
No, it's going to be a quick off-screen fling. They didn't even give the waiter a name.
It's true. He did not have a name.
If he'd had a name, I would have assumed it would have been like, maybe we'll see him once or twice. But like,
yeah,
he doesn't even have a name tag. He might as well lay down. He's got no chance.
Hey, we did get Rando for an episode.
Yeah, but they at least called him Rando.
That is true. Just waiter, and Vale is excited to have him break her and snap her in half like a glow stick. To crack her like a glow stick is what she said.
My only question that came up during this episode for you was
okay.
So they go to this really nice restaurant. They sit down. They're about to have this really nice meal, and I didn't notice it until like I was really focused on the meal. But Sophie pulls out, like, a really thin little breadstick out of, like, this little holder on the table.
Yeah.
They're like, pencil-thin breadsticks.
Yeah.
Is that really qualifies as breadstick?
I don't know. But, yeah, I saw, like, Vale was eating one. The waiter had a couple when, like, she was, like, giving him the look. Yeah, they're odd.
They are. Know.
Yeah.
Like, I qualify breadsticks as being, like, something a little bit more hearty, something, like, you could really clean your plate up with after
Olive Garden style.
Yes.
Give me those breadsticks all day.
We need to get some Olive Garden.
Yes. Yes, I agree. If you don't have any other questions or comments about the episode, then why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
Can you taste my Supe Guadalupe?
I cannot.
Hop on over to Twitter. Find me at SimplySaneJ1. I've got a link to my podcast. I've got a blog. You want to know more about me? Find me. Ask some questions. Get to know me. I'm one fuck of an interesting person.
He is an interesting person, folks. Definitely get to know him a little bit better. And you can find me on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. That is the Twitter page for my site, Merc with the Movie Blog. If you are watching this on the YouTube channel, you are watching it on the Merc with the Movie Blog YouTube channel. And you can, if you like what you're watching, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and ring that little, click that little bell. Don't ring it, click it.
And don't forget,
you can ring it.
I mean, you're definitely right. You don't ring it, you click it. Yeah. And don't forget, if you're watching from your mobile device, which I've got in my hands, it's trying to erase it, you can set your notifications to let you know when we drop new content, like today's episode, or any other great content Josh drops from Merc with the Movie Blogs page. His trailer reviews, his other cool stuff, like his Star Wars fandom and...
Sure.
Power Rangers or whatever else he's doing at such and such current time.
Yeah. If you head over to my actual site, Merc with the Movie Blog, I got a couple of reviews from the Tribeca Film Festival up there that I wrote. So go and check those out.
So those reviews made your page.
Just the written ones. Yeah. Hey, yours is up there. What are you talking about?
Is it finally up there?
It's been up there for a long time and a very long time.
Wasn't up there for a while.
Go check out John's review of the Munsters movie that came out a while back. It's up there. You'll find it.
Go check it out. It's a decent review. It's not the best, but it does what it needs to do.
Well, check it out. If you guys are listening on podcasts, head on over to anchor.fm/lastcall, HIMYM. Leave us a voice message over there. We'd love to hear your beautiful and sometimes not so beautiful voices asking us questions, leaving your concerns, you know, any of that kind of stuff, your comments about whatever's going on, whether it be the show, whether it be your life, you just let us know. And if you are on Apple Podcasts and you are loving the show, please leave us a 5-star review. And if you're leaving 5-star reviews, people, then write something too.
Yes.
Because we will read that shit.
And if you want to talk about Josh's R. Kelly yellow shirt, hop on over to Patreon, hit us up, and tell us why it's R. Kelly yellow.
And then don't forget to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Last Call, HIMYM. I'm on there. I'm at least on the Twitter page quite a bit. So definitely check us out there. Leave us your comments, your all that stuff on the YouTube page. You can leave comments, all kinds of good stuff, all kinds of places to find us and to communicate with us. So I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
If you don't want to see me open up a can of whoop-ass on this fucking little bitch over here, then you don't have to go home, but you can listen here.
Give me a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
All right. Catch you guys next time. Peace.